So would you pick up another verse, one hand in John chapter 12. Thanks for the good music this morning. John chapter 12. Would you also pick up Matthew chapter 15? John chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 15. The spirit and the attitude of this message has to be right. You'll find out why in just a little while from now. John chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 15. There's some Bible terminologies that we need to try to understand, but also we need to try to understand the attitudes behind them. John chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 15. Respond to me just a little bit, if you would, today. John 12, Matthew 15. And in John chapter 12, look what he says starting with verse 46. Verse 46. He says this, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Notice the term light and the term darkness. Verse 47. "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world." Notice what Jesus came to do, but to do what? Save the world. By the way, he didn't say to save some in the world. He said to save the world. Is that right? God's not willing that any should perish. And anybody here who's not received Christ as your Savior, he still came to save the world. And may I say that his attitude was, I didn't come to judge it. He said his words would do that. But he said, I came not to judge the world, but I came to save the world. He came, if you would, to provide a light. And that light was to counter the darkness that was in the world. Now, let me give you some terminologies here. When we think of light, we think to enlighten. If you ever saw a little cartoon where it's got the light bulb up there and a little thing, the light goes off, meaning, oh, now I understand. The idea behind light is enlighten or to give understanding. He says, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Let me give you some other words that, if you would, you can combine together to bring the understanding. Light speaks of truth. Would you agree with that? Darkness speaks of error in the Bible. If you would, darkness speaks of falsities, or if you would, darkness speaks of those who would deceive. And by the way, there is deception even in the world today. He says, I am come a light. I'm come as a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. He said, I want you to walk in the light as I am in the light. Look at verse 35. John chapter 12, you're still holding your place in Matthew 15. John 12, 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the what? Say it. Light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness know not whither he goeth. Again, remember he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The idea is, he came as a light in this world. He came to bring truth. And we're supposed to walk on the paths of truth, not walk on the paths of error. Verse 36. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of what? Light. Brethren, we're supposed to be the children of truth. We're supposed to walk in truth. We're supposed to walk down that path of truth. But I want to make a statement to you. Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, brought light. He brought truth. But there were those on this earth that lived in darkness, lived in error, and light and darkness were going to collide. There was going to be a collision between light and darkness. Jesus knew that before he came, that when he brought truth, there were those that would call him a liar. But he was still going to walk in the truth and give the truth, but there would be those who thought they were in the truth, and he knew there was going to be a collision. Have you noticed, as children of light, every once in a while we collide with someone? Not so much collide in fisticuffs or anything like that, but we collide in what we believe in. Because we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Every once in a while, we would collide with someone who doesn't believe that. Would you agree? It's still light and darkness colliding, if you would. There are still collisions going on. And if we're going to walk in the light, if we're going to live in the light, and if we're going to propagate the light and be a light, there's going to be some collisions. Stay with me. Look at Matthew chapter 15, if you would. Everybody okay this morning? Matthew chapter 15. It sounds negative, but it's not. Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, we'll go back to John in just a little while. Matthew chapter 15, watch what happens here. And I'm going to be a little specific in just a couple moments from now. Matthew chapter 15, watch the collision that takes place. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees. Would you agree that scribes and Pharisees had a form of religion? Yes or no? Yeah? Scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, watch the question. Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? Now, you know what that statement was? Jesus, why are those that are following you, Why are you transgressing? Why are you, if you would, breaking the traditions of we who established these and the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Watch the collision. Watch his answer, verse 3. But he answered and said to them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Mark it down. That produced a great collision because they did not believe they were transgressing the commandment of God. They thought all that they were doing was right and after what God wanted. But Jesus said to them, you're asking me why I'm transgressing, why I'm breaking your traditions. And I'm asking you, why are you breaking the commandment of God? There's a collision going on here. Look what Jesus says to them in verse 7. He calls them hypocrites. Verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy unto you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their what? Their heart is far from me. Brother, would you agree there's a collision going on here between light and darkness, between truth and error? Verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of who? Man, I want to make a statement to you. I want everybody to understand. Most of you do understand already. There are a lot of religious, quote unquote, for lack of a better term, there are a lot of religious traditions out there that God never created. Would you agree with that statement? Now you say, oh, you're about ready to judge somebody. Let me say something very carefully to you. Jesus said, I didn't come to judge, but I came to give you truth because I don't want you walking down the wrong path that leads in error, that leads away from God. Even though we think we're going towards God, he said, I'm going to give you truth so you're not led into darkness. Is that right? And we are going to be a church that stands for the light. We are going to be a church that warns people and says, don't walk down the path of darkness, even though they say it's the way to God. Be careful. Not everybody that has a path that says that is the way to God is the right path. Would you agree? There's a lot of paths out there and a lot of dreamed up paths that are actually dark and there's truth in them. So he says this in verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Look at verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were what? Say it. Offended. After they heard this saying, hey, he knew they were offended. He knew the truth was going to cause some offense. I want to make a statement to you. When I first heard the truth, I was offended. I thought I had this thing right. I grew up in a church. I grew up following traditions. I grew up doing what they told me to do. I went through the system. And when somebody approached me at 23 and challenged my belief and gave me truth, I was offended. Do you know what I'm talking about? When somebody came to me and said, well, are you sure that you're on your way to heaven? Are you sure you've received Christ as your Savior? I said to them, I grew up in church. They said, that's not what I ask you. I thought, what are you talking about? I said I grew up in church. I even had my little Bible that they gave me. I had never read it, but I had it. I grew up in the system. I did what they told me to do. And they told me everything was okay. How did they know what was going on in my heart? I believed them. I memorized what I was supposed to memorize. I put it back to them. They said, you're okay, everything's fine. But you know what? In my heart, I knew something wasn't right. There was still an empty spot in there. There was still a void in there. What I got wasn't good enough. I believe they were well-meaning. I believe the Pharisees were well-meaning. But there's a difference between light and darkness. There's a difference between truth and deception. And what Jesus said to them offended them. And they knew they were offended. Look at chapter 16. Stay with me. Chapter 16. Look what he says in chapter 16 of the book of Matthew. Look at verse 6. Stay right with me. Verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed. Warning. And beware. Warning. Of the what? Say it. Leaven. Of who? The Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Two religious groups at that time. Now, they didn't quite understand what he was saying, so he explained it very carefully in verse 12. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the what? Say it. Doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So when he said, take heed and beware of the leaven, he was talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And he was saying, you better beware, you better be careful. I'm warning you, the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees is false. That's what he was saying. Is that correct?
statement. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but we're going to stand for truth and light in this church. I don't want to offend anybody, but the point of it is, brother, there is false doctrine out there. There is false doctrine out there that even names the name Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that? Just because they name the name Jesus doesn't mean it's all true doctrine. You'll say, now wait a minute, how do you know that? Because we study our Bible, and we understand our Bible, and whatever the Bible says, that's true. Would you agree with that? Now, I'm going to say this to you. There are kind, sweet, moral people out there that say, yes, I believe in Jesus, but they'll teach false doctrine. Listen to me. They're kind, they're sweet, they're moral. They're friendly. But they have false doctrine that they're propagating. Don't think that we're the only ones in town that got it right. I'm not saying that at all. But brother, if you have a Bible, we can compare spiritual things with spiritual things, and we go with the truth. When light came, the Pharisees didn't like the light because they were in darkness and it contradicted what they said. And when that light hit that darkness, there was a collision and they had to find a way to try to get rid of that light. So after the collision more and more happened, they decided that they would try to kill the light. And they thought they had the light killed, but the light resurrected again. You can't kill truth. You can't kill the Word of God. Nobody on this earth is ever going to be able to get rid of the Word of God because it abideth forever. Would you agree with that? So let's go on a little bit more and see what happens. Look at Matthew chapter 21. We all right this morning? I'll be specific in just a few moments. Matthew chapter 21. The attitude is of Jesus. He came to bear witness to the light. He came to bear witness to the truth. He came to bear witness to the right path that led to the ways of life. And in doing so, He had to proclaim the false doctrine and the false path. Would you agree with that? You see, brother, a lot of times it's like, don't shake the cart. Don't say something that sounds like you're judging somebody else. I'm okay, you're okay. As long as you believe it sincerely, everything's okay. That's a false doctrine. That's not a right, good, true belief. Would you agree? Brother, hey, just because somebody believes it sincerely, they could be sincerely wrong. We've got to go with the Bible. I believe I was sincere when I did some of the things as a young child and what I did, but I was sincerely wrong. I believe my mother was sincere when she took me as a little baby and brought me up to the little water and had the guy sprinkle water on my head. I believe she was very sincere, but please look up here. That didn't do anything for me. Now, and we're not making fun of it. My mom was sincere. I mean, she thought that would do something for me and help to wash away and cleanse my sin. But brethren, that didn't do anything for me because I was a young baby. I didn't make a decision. There was no decisions I made. You won't find that in the Bible. It's not in there. You say, well, where did that start? Somebody made it up. Don't be offended. Wait a minute, stay right there. You say, well, wait a minute. Now, I was baptized as a young baby with that sprinkling too. But I'm telling you something, it didn't do anything to clean up your conscience. It didn't do anything to forgive your sins. And right now, if that light is hitting darkness, don't get up and get offended. Stay right there. Don't move, please. Why? Because let light creep into the darkness a little bit, and let light shine into the darkness a little bit, and if you come to the light, it'll be, wow, how could I walk in darkness so long? It's such a wonderful thing to pass from darkness to light. It's such a wonderful thing to pass from confusion to where you say, now it's all secure, now it's all sound, and now I understand it. It makes sense. So it's going to get a little tougher here. Look at Matthew 21. We still all right? Watch what happens here in Matthew chapter 21. They were going to ask Him a question. Verse 23. Thanks for staying right with us. And when He was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto Him as He was teaching and said, watch the question. There's going to be a collision here. By what authority doest thou these things? Darkness is going to collide with light again. And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing. Brother, may I say something to you? Anytime you see where the elders and the priests ask a question, and Jesus answers by asking another question, there's going to be a collision. Amen? He's going to try to cause them to think. And may I say to you, there were Pharisees and Sadducees that got saved. Why? Because light hit darkness and Jesus didn't back off. But he did it with kindness, he did it with compassion, and he did it and he says, I didn't come to judge you, I came to save you. I came to show you the light, I came to show you a path, I came to show you a better way.
Amen.
The right way, the true way. So he's going to ask them a question in verse 24. I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. He says, you tell me the answer to my question, and then I'll tell you by what authority. Verse 25. The baptism of John. Whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, say the next three words, say it, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Finished. Done. You can't answer my question? I'm not answering yours. Don't you think some of them went away fuming? Brethren, right about there, can't you see the pride welling up in some of these men? We asked him what authority he was teaching those things. And he asked us a question. And by the way, he asked a perfect question. And they didn't have an answer. So he just said that I'm not telling you by what authority. You know why? They wouldn't have believed him anyways. But it gets a little bit more collisionary. Look at verse 31. Verse 31. Jesus gives them another parable, and now he says something to them that is very point blank. Right in the middle of verse 31, Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, he's speaking to those Sadducees, those Pharisees, scribes, that publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Oh, man. I'm telling you, you talk about blood pressure rising. Come on, would you agree? Here were these men that were just, they were teachers. Now, brethren, please, they weren't the common people. They weren't the common Israelites, the common Jewish people. These were the leaders. Stay with me now. These were the Pharisees. These were the Sadducees that were telling everybody else how they should run their lives and what they should do and how to get to heaven. And Jesus said, the publicans, and he chose this word, and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. I don't know what they did, but I can just see it rising up inside of them and them gnashing at him. And don't you think when they went back and talked, they said, we got to get rid of this guy. How dare he say that to us? I don't know what they said, but can't you see the thoughts erupting here as he told them that? He wasn't finished yet. Look at Matthew 23 and pick up John chapter 8. You still doing all right? Remember, it's light colliding with darkness. It's truth colliding with error. Go to Matthew 23. You're right there, just a chapter away or so, two chapters. And look at John chapter 8. Truth and error are going to collide even in our lifetime. If we're going to walk as children of light and put out the light, every once in a while there's going to be a collision. But we're not trying to do it to destroy someone. We're trying to do it to help someone. John chapter 8. Our attitude has to be right. John chapter 8 and Matthew 23. Now watch John chapter 8 very carefully. We're not supposed to go out, if you would, and, well, I think I'll just go pick a fight. Brethren, the reason we go out and try to bear witness about the light is to help people. Look at John chapter 8. Stay with me. Look, if you would, in verse 39. Verse 39 of John chapter 8. They, here we're back to the scribes and the Pharisees again. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, watch, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to what? Kill me. Jesus says to them plainly, you're out to kill me. A man that hath told you the what? Truth. He challenges them. Look at verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Look what he says. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. And then he goes on to say, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he's speaking a lie, he's speaking of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Brethren, that's pretty strong. He says, you all are out teaching lies because you're following your father and you're following the lusts of your father. And just like your father, he didn't say it, but he intimidated one of the preeminence. That's what you want also if you read the rest of the Bible. And he says this in verse 47, he that is of a God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not because ye are not of God. Strong words. Statement. Light and darkness are colliding. But the reason Jesus is doing this is so the truth will go forth and these that are propagating the lies will cease, and he knew there was going to be a collision. Then he gets very specific. Look at Matthew 23. Last scripture. Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. And he gets very, very, if you would, distinct in what he's about to say in Matthew 23. And notice with you would, everybody still okay here this morning? Look at Matthew 23 and look at verse 13. Woe. Warning. Woe. A woe is like a warning. Something's coming upon you. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. You know what he's saying to them? You've taught them a wrong path. You've taught them a false way. You're leading them in the darkness. You're a blind guide. You don't know where you're going, and you don't know how to lead them to the truth. Look what he says in verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him 2-4 more the child of hell than yourselves. That's strong language. But it's truth. It's glaring truth. I mean, the lights are on bright right now, and he's telling them the truth. And don't you think people are listening in? But remember why he's doing this. He wants the world to be saved. And they're teaching them a false way of salvation. You know what they're teaching them? They're teaching them that they can work their way to have the right relationship with God by keeping the law. That's what these Pharisees are teaching. And by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. The idea is nobody can live good enough to be right with God through the deeds of the law. Would you agree with that? That's why Jesus Christ came. He fulfilled the law. He lived it perfectly. Now what we do is we accept what He's done for us, trusting Christ as our Savior, and He, if you would, takes that law, nails it to the cross. We talked about it last Sunday morning, and therefore law, sin is no longer imputed to us, but it's not our works of righteousness, it's His works of righteousness. Statement. We're saved by His work on the cross of Calvary. For by grace are you saved through what? Say it. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to boast about getting to heaven on their own works. But after we're saved, we're created unto Christ Jesus unto good works. Not to keep us saved. But once you get saved, you want to do something for God. You want to have a godly marriage. You want to have a godly home. You want to do something with Christianity. You want to read the Word of God. There's something that just stirs inside of you. We want to get to know God more. And certainly there are works after salvation, but they don't keep us saved. Would you agree with that? Now, wait a minute. Light and darkness are still clashing in the world today. Let me be specific, but let me tell you the right attitude. And my attitude is not to tell you that we should destroy somebody. But beware of the leaven. Beware of the doctrine. Amen? Come on. You say, well, it's almost going to be like you're making a separation. One is right and one is wrong. Charles Taz Russell, in the early 1900s, formed a group of people that were later called the Russellites. Charles Taz Russell got everybody together and taught them some doctrine. He didn't understand the doctrine of the Bible himself. He believed that there was a Jehovah God and then a lesser God named Jesus. Because he couldn't understand how they could be equal and how they could be one. And by the way, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And they are equal. Jesus took upon himself flesh and he lowered himself, but he was still God in the flesh. Is that right? He was still the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But Charles Taz Russell couldn't understand that. So, because he couldn't understand it, he changed the Bible to fit what he understood. And he ran around teaching it to people, and they were called the Russellites. in modern day times, we call them Jehovah's Witnesses. Stop. Wait a minute. I didn't say they're bad, immoral people. I didn't say they didn't believe what they believe. But I'm saying beware of the doctrine. Why? It's a doctrine of works. You have to be baptized by someone in their organization, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. They even changed the Word of God. Our Bible says this, in the beginning was the capital W, and the Word was made, was with God, and the Word was God. Down in verse 12 it says, and the Word was made flesh. Hey, the Word, capital W, Jesus and God the Father are one. But we understand now, if you read a Jehovah's Witnesses Bible and you say, I can't believe you're condemning somebody. Wait a minute, light and darkness are going to clash. Light and darkness are going to collide. And we have to tell people the right way. Is that right, yes or no? Hey, Charles Taz Russell said you had to work to get saved. You had to do this to get saved. He didn't believe in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. He didn't believe that God, if you would, Jesus Christ is God, was God, and forever will shall be God. He said this, in the beginning was the Word. You say, well, that sounds all right. Start out okay. And what did he say next? Some of you know. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was. Turn to John 1, real quick. Satan's very subtle. In the garden, he just changed the meaning a little bit. And all we have to do is see where they change the meaning a little bit. John 1:1, you know it. I'll read it. You watch your Bible. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. You say, who's the Word? Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. That's Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was, and here's what Charles Dad Russ has Russell did, and the Russellites and Jehovah is, and the Word was a God. Now, just putting that little word in you there, A, that little article, A, you would say, hey, that's no big deal. But see, that tells us what doctrine they believe. And anybody that doesn't confess that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and that Jesus Christ is God is Antichrist. The Bible says that in 1 John. We get sometimes say, that's judgmental. That's beware of the leaven. Beware of the doctrine. Don't walk down that path that leads to darkness. Every once in a while, there's going to be a collision. But we have to be children of light and walk in the light and stand for truth. Don't be offended because somebody has to be right and somebody's wrong. More important is truth is truth is truth is truth. It's not a matter of I'm right and they're wrong. It's not a debate. Eternal souls are hanging on this. There was a name, Joseph Smith. Now, wait a minute. And may I say, those that followed after him were moral people? Well, for the most part. If you really study it, they did some things that you and I wouldn't do. And said it was okay. But they were clean, they were sweet, they were kind. But see, he said in his writings, and you got to study it, that there were some tablets that dropped out of heaven that he found. They were stone tablets. And along with those stone tablets, there were special glasses. True story. It's a true story. It's in there. And he put on those glasses, and only through those glasses could he read these special tablets. And when he read, he wrote that one of the things he found out was that Jesus and Satan were brothers. Now, brother, may I say something to you? Listen to me. He'd say, why should somebody yell that out? I don't know. What are you going to do? Dress them up? You can't take them out. I'm in here. Stay with me now. Stay with me.
Jesus and Satan were brothers. Statement. You'll never, ever, ever find even close to that in the Bible. They were never brothers. Satan, Lucifer, was an anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. He was never a brother to Jesus. Never, ever, ever. Jesus is God, has been God, always has been God. Satan's never been God.
Satan is trying to lift himself up on God. You say that's a small point. There's so many things, but I'm just telling you, the foundation is all wrong. It's man-made. I'm not saying those who follow Joseph Smith may not be clean, moral people. By the way, they call them Mormons today. But they also believe you work your way to heaven. But they name the name of Jesus. Now, don't go away mad. Don't go away with anything. I know somebody. That's a good person. They really believe what they believe. The Pharisees were probably some people that were clean and moral, and they really believed what they believed. But Nicodemus came and saw the light. And Nicodemus got saved. You say, how do you know Nicodemus got saved? Look what happened, and look who shows up after Jesus died. He shows up to help with that body. Is that right? Oh, don't be surprised when you see Nicodemus in heaven. But he was one of them, a ruler. But he got saved. Why? Because Jesus stood for the truth. Jesus bore witness of the light. Jesus told him about the deception. And some said, you know what? That's right. That's right. The children of the light every once in a while are going to collide with the deception that's out there. Hey, please understand when I say this. Nowhere, please look at me, nowhere in this Bible did Mary ask us to pray to her. She was the mother of Jesus. She was very humbled by that. She bore Jesus as a virgin. The Holy Ghost gave her conception, a miracle. She was very humbled by that. But her and Joseph had children later. Nowhere does it say that Mary wants us to pray to her. And nowhere in this Bible does it say that Mary can forgive us. It's not in there. Would you agree? And I'm not saying those people that do it are terrible, 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 but the doctrine is wrong. There are people today that are being taught to say Hail Mary. You'll not see Hail Mary in there. You'll see Jesus saying all hail, greeting them. But nowhere in there does it ever lift up Mary. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Hey, we don't have anything against women. That's not the point. The point is, tell people the truth. Bear witness to the truth. If we could talk to Mary right now, she'd say, Jesus Christ, He's the one. Hear ye Him. He's the one. Don't put me up in that category. She was a woman. She was a human. She had sin. And we could go on and on and on. But the idea is this. A church ought to be propagating light. Truth. You know why we have a Bible Institute? To study about truth. We want people to study about light. And in studying light, then we learn what error is. Now, if you go out here and say, well, you think you're all right and everybody else is wrong, we believe the Bible is right. And we study the Bible. And if you'd give us some time in the Bible Institute or even in your own home, you'd say, I don't know if I quite agree with that. Hey, we could show you what they believe and why they believe it and what the Bible says. But you know what people will not do? They will not study. They'll look at somebody and say, that seems like a good person. They can't be wrong. That seems like a nice man, nice woman. They can't be wrong. There's not a lot of nice people in this Bible that were wrong. Are we all right still? You see, we're going to be a church and we're going to be a people that study the Bible and understand the difference between truth and error, between light and darkness. And He does say this, that the children of light ought to walk in the path of light, in the path of truth. And I'll tell you this, you never stop studying. While you're on this earth, you never stop the studying of the truth of the Word of God. And we always bounce up what someone says and what someone believes against the Word of God. And we always believe the Word of God statement. And sometimes we have to study and study and study because we don't quite understand it. But we keep studying. There's still things in this Bible I don't quite understand. But there's some certain things that I carefully, with great interest and with great tenacity, understand what falsities are. There's a lot of doctrines out there that are works towards salvation. But it's very clear to me and to those who are sitting in this room that salvation is by grace. And grace what? Alone. It's His grace, and please, it's a gift. Nobody earns it. The wonderful simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that He gives it. He doesn't say, if you're good enough, I'll give it to you. None of us would have got it. He gives it as a gift, and He doesn't say, well, hey, listen, now that I've given you gift, if you're good enough, I'll not take my gift back. Once He gives the gift of salvation, it is given. He's not looking for ways to take it back. It's a gift. You say, all I have to do is what then? Receive it. Believe and receive it. And once you receive the gift of salvation, then regeneration will come into your heart and mind, and you'll want to study more and learn more. And then you'll want to do something for God or with God or with God's people. And then you'll want to be a children of light, a child of light, and you'll want to bear witness of that light. And you'll want to let your light shine. And then you might find yourself even challenging the deceivers and say, as much as I like that person, as much as I don't want to have conflict with them, I have to tell them the truth. I have to give them the truth. I have to show them the right path. I must. And so you start telling them the truth. Look up here, and there's a collision. There's a collision between light and darkness. But wait a minute. Don't stop there. Just because you collide, you're not out to destroy somebody and you're not out to run somebody over. You're allowed out to try to get the truth in. And once that truth comes in and lights up that darkness, that person will not want to walk that path of darkness any longer. And that person later on will thank you and say, thanks for not giving up on me. Thanks for being patient with me. Thanks for telling me the truth. Even when I got offended, even when I got mad, there's a guy whose name is Roy Forsythe. You don't know who he is. He and another man knocked on my door one night in Buford, South Carolina. And Roy stood at my door and challenged my faith. My faith. What I came up through, what I did, I have you know I was an altar boy. I told him that. He said, but are you saved? I said, well, I believe in God. He said, but have you received Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever repented of your sins? Have you trusted? Have you ever been regenerated? I said, I don't know what that means, and I'm tired of talking to you. But I'm okay. He said, well, at least let me give you this gospel tract. I took the tract, and when they turned to walk away, I took my door with emphasis, and I slammed the door. Took that tract, threw it up on my shelf, didn't think about it for a few weeks. But God was working. Amen. I'll make this last statement. Today, actually a month and a half later, I thanked Roy Forsythe for coming to my door and challenging me about it. Because I understood then, after I had received Christ as Savior, He was out there because He cared about people. And He was telling me the truth because He cared about me. And I'm glad He didn't back off. I'm glad. And you know what He did for that month and a half? He prayed for me. He didn't even know who I was. I came into church about 3 weeks later, and there He was in there, grinning. I'll never forget that grin. He was just grinning at me. Just like, it was like a little smirk. It wasn't even a grin, it was a... Oh, He's just... I didn't get saved that morning. Came back the next Sunday. There He was. Shook my hand. Grinning again. Just grinning. I didn't know what He was doing. He'd been praying. He knew what was happening. I didn't know what was happening. I was just going to church. The third week, I walked indifferent than the first 2 weeks. Third week, I walked in saved. In the third week, He was grinning and I was grinning too. And I said, thank you, Roy, with tears. I said, thank you for giving me the gospel, not giving up on me.
He mentored me for a while. He discipled me for a while. He cared for my soul and helped me to understand the Word of God. And he said, "Hey, Lieutenant Fisher, just have some patience with yourself. Just have patience with yourself." He knew what he was saying. He said, "There's going to be some changes inside of you." He knew what he was saying. But he led me to light. It was the Holy Spirit that quickened. It was the Holy Spirit that turned on the light inside. Do you know what I'm saying? It was the Holy Spirit that led me to the truth. But it was someone else who told me about the truth and challenged me. If you've never received Christ as your Savior today, today would be a wonderful day. And we'll both, after the service, I'll meet you out there and we'll grin together. And you'll say, "Man, I don't know why I came to church." Now you know you got saved. Amen. We'll just all grin together. And then we'll go to heaven and we'll grin for the rest of our eternity together. That we receive Christ as our Savior. If you're going out just a little offended today, don't get too offended. Just think about it. The offense will go away when you study that Bible, when the Holy Spirit quickens your mind. That offense will quickly leave. And before long, you'll find yourself out there giving out a gospel tract and putting the light out. The truth. Because you got it. You know how real it is. You want someone else to have that truth. Such an important thing. Today, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, let us pray for you. And if you're already saved, let's be children of light. Let's let our light, what? Shine. Don't hide it. Even though it causes some collisions once in a while, don't hide it. Because look at here, the little six or seven collisions you have with somebody, those two or three that don't collide, and they go, "Boy, I want that. It's worth it." With our heads bowed, please, and our eyes closed, just for a moment. Maybe you've never received Christ as your Savior, and please, just for a moment, out of courtesy to those around you, I'd like to pray for you today. I'd like you to give me the honor and the privilege to pray for you. If you've never trusted and put your faith and received the gift of salvation, and it's a gift, if you've never done that, and maybe you've heard about some of these other groups and other teachings and you're still struggling with that a little bit, don't be offended. The light, the truth, is Jesus Christ and Him alone, and His work upon the cross, receiving that. Not your works of righteousness, His works of righteousness. If you're not sure of your salvation today, would you just slip up your hand and say, "Pastor, pray for me. I would like to know more about Jesus Christ and salvation." If that's you, would you put him up right now so we can see him, and then just put it right back down. "I'm not sure of my salvation today. Pray for me." Yes, thank you. Without giving offense, maybe you know somebody right now, and God has just stirred your heart to pray for somebody you know, a loved one, a neighbor, a friend, a fellow person at your work. And just right now, your heart's just stirred about that person's soul. We're supposed to be light. We're supposed to let our light shine. We're supposed to let the truth go forth. There'll be collisions once in a while. But if we do it with the right heart and the attitude not to judge, let the Word do the judging. Let us just give out the Word. I wonder if you'd take some time and pray for that person this morning. If you're growing in the Lord and you're a new Christian, thanks for being in church today. Maybe you ought to say, "Well, maybe I need to study the Bible a little bit more," and take a look at that institute information in that flyer and that bulletin and just say, "You know, maybe I should take one Bible class." That doesn't mean you have to go to 3 years of institute and all the time. Maybe you just want to take a Bible class and learn a little bit more. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Yield yourself up to God, and let's see what He does with it. Would you stand to your feet, please? With your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you need salvation today, maybe you raised your hand, maybe you didn't, and you'd like somebody to take a Bible and show you about the Scriptures. Maybe God's dealing with you about something totally different than was even mentioned here today. And it's just been deal. Maybe you're going through a great storm right now in your life. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. We have an old-fashioned altar call. We just take a few moments to give people a chance to come forward and use a pew up front. And I want to give the Holy Spirit just a moment here.
whether it be something we spoke about or maybe something totally different. Maybe you know somebody away from the Lord just a little bit and you want to pray for them. Just be obedient to the Lord and clear yourself with the Holy Spirit and let Him speak to you. Maybe you just want to say, I love you, Lord. Thank you for guiding me into truth and the path of righteousness. That I'm not in darkness. And you're glad that one day light collided with darkness and light shined into that darkness and gave us the truth. The instruments will play. If your need is to come, whether you're in the middle of the pew, outside, just say, excuse me, you come right now. If it's for yourself or someone you know, maybe you just want to yield yourself up a little bit more today.